Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August the 30th, 243rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, still the president of College of the Redwoods, right?
Yes.
All right. Kathy Lehner. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon.
Boy, has your water bottle been here and there? There's got to be stories behind that thing.
Well, I can't find another one that size, but yes, there are stories behind that, but I like that size.
Or you keep dropping it.
I keep
dropping
it.
So that it looks like it's been every place.
It comes out of my purse onto the driveway, yes.
Yeah, bounces on the pavement.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, down the road. Yeah, there's a Meatball song about that.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, the meatball falls off the plate onto the table,
Okay.
But yeah. Obviously, it has a couple more words than what I just said. This afternoon, we got a new school year coming up, so we'll talk a little bit about that, see some of the new challenges that the governor and the state have decided to throw on the community college system. Also, I guess the obligatory update on the accreditation will also occur, and whatever else we may end up talking about, like where she got her killer tan. We'll find out when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with, you know, does anybody ever call you doctor other than the board meetings?
And I'm not a doctor, so no. They
Oh, really?
Should not call me doctor,
Oh,
no.
Cool. What are you?
I am a CPA and an MBA. No doctor.
Oh.
Yes.
I like you.
Thanks, yes.
Yes. President, Kathy, how's
President,
that?
President, that's good.
All right, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Herbert Spencer. The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. So I guess there's something in there about reality, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we got a new school year coming on. Mm-hmm. You got budget, you got enrollment. You got accreditation. You've got physical new. Is any of that real?
Absolutely. Classes started on Monday, so we're in our first week, and it's always fun to start a new school year. Everybody's enthusiastic. Everybody's ready to meet their teachers for the first time, and faculty are interested in meeting their students for the first time, and it's just an exciting time to be there.
Is it fun, exciting, et cetera? For those not in the classroom also, the
Absolutely.
Support staff and the administration and everybody associated with the school?
There's so much more energy when class is in session on campus. Well, one, the parking lots are full, but two, you know, just the buzz. You walk into the even the student services building and people are lined up to pay bills or to get their schedule changed or to get
now,
a transcript.
Now, that would get me excited, having people lined up to pay bills.
They do
I'd
that,
I'd be standing
yes.
there, could I get you a drink, sir?
They do that, yes. But they're just, you know, buying books and there's just a buzz and it's just a hum and it's just a fun time to be at the college and it is exciting.
I said that kind of facetiously. We dropped the kid off and it was on Saturday and Sunday. So classes weren't in session, but the freshmen show up a week early, so they get their stuff, and there was still movement. I can't imagine somebody not getting a pump
mm-hmm.
from being in an educational environment.
And we actually started the weekend before, last weekend, because we opened the dorms on Sunday, and so the residential halls. And so we had all of the students moving into the residence halls, and all the parents were here dropping them off. And so we got to have meetings with the parents to talk to them about what to expect. And then after that, we had meetings with the students. And then we got all the parents and students in for a barbecue over the cafeteria. And so it was a buzz on Sunday, even before classes began.
Is there any thought, Kathy, or as you see CR down the road, and let's for this discussion just use the Eureka campus. Do you see more dorms, more on-campus housing as a possibility, or the school buying maybe some property in Fields Landing and almost having that because of the physical proximity where the dorms are so that there's more of that collegial
That's a good question, and I can't say that I know whether the College of the Redwoods has talked about that in the past. I do know that College of the Redwoods is one of the very few community colleges in the state of California that has dormitories or residential halls, and so we do get some students from out of our area because we do have those halls here. So I think it depends upon the mission that we pursue as to whether we're going to try to attract people from outside of the area or not.
Do dorms pay for themselves?
I think in general they do. I've not looked at the specific dollar amounts for our residential halls here yet, but I think in general that we look at the costs and we increase our fees, unfortunately, enough to cover the costs.
To me, I'm a fan of it. I think it adds to that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you may argue good, bad, but the experience nonetheless, and there's something about that.
Well, I had the opportunity about a week ago to have lunch with the resident assistants, the RAs. We have five RAs that will be in the dorms. They are all college students as well. Not first year, of course, but second, third, fourth year college students. And they range from, 20 years old to almost 40 years old. And they're a great group of students. And they're so energized about the things they want to do to get this year's dorm students involved in campus life. So they've got plans for activities to get them involved, and we talked about how administration and particularly my office could be involved in some of those as well.
That'd be you doing the flipping?
Yeah, I can flip the hamburgers.
Yeah.
Yes, I can do that. I can eat them too.
Is there any emphasis by the school, or I guess by any of the schools in the community college system, to develop an international program?
There are. Some schools have worked on that quite a bit. It does require a special kind of visa and different regulations, and we have not actively sought to increase our international student population. At this point, because of funding, we're impacted in our classroom. We've had to cut classes, and I think our first priority is to serve the residents of our communities.
But yeah, your existing customers, that would make sense.
Absolutely, yes.
So maybe, but not this year.
That's a fair answer, yes.
Yeah, see, I can always deflect and diffract,
yes,
all that kind of stuff. But full schedule, day classes, night classes, everything's rolling this week.
Everything, yes. We have had to limit some of our offerings just because of the budget cuts that we've sustained. But there is room for everybody. It may not be at the exact time they would like to have the class, but they can find a seat in the classes.
And what else are you doing at 3 in the morning? Come on, give me a break.
That's
KINS,
right.
News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Kathy Lehner.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lehner from CR. Kathy, before the break, you alluded to classroom size. There was a reference either to having to make them larger or eliminating certain classes because of lack of enrollment or compensation for the enrollment from the
Not
state.
Not lack of enrollment. There is a demand for classes, but classes in general will have more students in them this year than they did last year because we have eliminated some of the sections. So, for instance, if we used to have three sections of a particular course and they used to have 20 people in them, now we might have two sections that have 30 people in them.
And a section is regular vernacular, a class?
A class, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Education terms.
You
here,
lose
yes.
me so easy.
Yes.
But everybody seems to. I don't get it. So in that kind of a scenario, considering the state budget, is that bad?
No, not at all bad. It is just that it is less convenient for students because they have fewer choices of times. And as far as, if they have preferential seats in the classroom, whether they like to sit in a particular row or whatever, they may not get the choices that they used to have as far as where to sit and what classes to take, what time.
You got feedback on what chair somebody wants to sit in the classroom?
Not specific chairs,
okay.
No.
Then I can check off on that one.
Okay, all right.
It, I've always argued that I would rather be in a good class and being one of 1,000 than a real poor class and being one of 3. The ratio thing doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it depends upon the education delivery system that the faculty uses.
And give me a big lecture hall. I mean, put me out in the field. You know, I mean, the most basic rudimentary.
Right.
What I've always thought the big thing was is teacher access after the class for those that need to have interaction with the teacher. Not with a teacher's assistant, but with the teacher. So I would argue that maybe 2 classes is better for that teacher if there was another 4 hours a week where they had to be in their office available for kids to come in a study hall kind of a thing and do follow-up questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And teachers at College of the Redwoods do make themselves available in their offices. The full-time faculty have offices. Unfortunately, some of the part-time faculty don't have that advantage. They may work all day long and then go teach a class at night, but they're very apt to stay after class or be there before class to answer questions that students have. I think you find more of an issue perhaps on the student side sometimes. They are impacted with their schedule. And I mean, they have to go to work. They have families. They have so many things that are impacting their lives that they try to get their classes back to back to back, and they don't have free time on campus to stop by faculty offices. When a student comes to me and says, I've got this horrible schedule because I get out of one class at 10 and I don't get to go to my next one until 11:30, it's like, wow, you've got an hour and a half to take full advantage of the services we have to offer at the college. So make yourself active and avail yourselves of those services.
There used to be library time, study hall, things like that.
We have a wonderful library resource center there where students can get some help. They can get some good quiet study time. And it's also an opportunity to walk around campus and go into the faculty offices and talk to faculty who don't have a class that particular session.
Sneak up on them and surprise them.
You could do that.
What is the student body size?
We have approximately, and I don't know the count yet for fall, but I'm going to say around 5,000 students this fall.
5,000 full-time?
No.
Or 5,000 total bodies?
Bodies.
Taking a class sometime.
Bodies.
What's capacity?
I think in our high range, which was a few years ago, I'm coming off the top of my head here again, new president. I think we may have had up to almost 8,000 students at one time. And as I say the 5,000, I'm going to backtrack. I bet you it's in the 6,000s this fall. But I can get you better numbers on that. But
well, I'm curious with the change in the schedules and the classroom sizes required because of the budget. Has it had any direct impact on the numbers of kids? Students, I know some are older than, okay, fine.
Yes.
Of those attending CR?
You know, right now, our preliminary reports show that we are down about a bit this fall. There's been so many changes that we can't really attribute it to one thing. We're guessing that the fact that the fees went up to $46 per unit this year, that probably had some impact on the student body as well, where they chose to go.
What other choices are there?
Here.
For somebody, a post-high school, you know, if the fees went up to the 46 level, well, down the road to Humboldt may not be an option.
Right.
Mendocino's probably priced pretty close.
No, all community colleges in the state are on the same fee structure. We do not set our own fees. The state sets our own fees.
Where do they go across the state lines?
They may choose to work for a year instead of going to college. They may choose to defer their education. Or not take as many classes.
You'll be able to figure that out after a couple of years, just how many kids are graduating.
Right.
Students are graduating. I'm going to beat you to the punch.
Yes.
But I am going to continue to call them dorms.
Okay, I know.
You can do that other word. That's okay.
But. I tried to catch myself when I was saying dorms a while ago, but I still say it once in a while. And they are because they were built in the 60s, our residence halls are like the dorms I remember because they have 2 rooms with 2 students each that share a bathroom. So there's 4 students to a bathroom. So they aren't the new residence halls that are more like apartments.
Oh, yeah. Those are weird. I've seen a couple of them, and I don't think I could function as 1 of 8 or 1 of 10 or 12 in those module pod things.
Sharing the kitchen and
yeah, I got
having
time.
Community
I got
meals.
Enough time just sharing it at home right now.
Yes.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lehner, who is the College of the Redwoods president. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You got the new building. All the cyclone fences down now?
Nope, not all of them. We still have construction going on in the middle of campus. We do have the fences down around the new Student Services Administration building. It is open.
So you do the circle turn.
We can do the roundabout. We do the roundabout.
Where was I? Oh, they're putting one of those in on 20.
On Highway 20?
Yeah.
Where?
Clear Lake.
Huh?
Yeah, just okay. This side of it, the one that goes south.
When you have the stop sign there that you have to stop at now.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
No, let me take that back. It was right across from the bingo parlor. There's a grocery store right across from it, and they put...
Okay.
I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're used prevalently in other places.
Yeah, I know.
Such as England.
And obviously, I'm a big fan.
Right.
So you got access to the Student Services building?
We do. Student Services building, it's now a one-stop shop. So students who want to come in and apply and register and see an advisor and get their classes and get everything done all in one place.
Bookstore?
Pay their bills. Bookstore, they have to go across campus. So the bookstore is still in the Student Center with the cafeteria. And I went into the bookstore a couple of times this past month, my first times in there, and since it's open for fall semester, and it is an amazing bookstore. I was very impressed with the things they sell in addition to the books.
I've always thought it would be really cool, and I guess there must not be enough call for it for the schools I'm familiar with, the locals as well as those out of the area, to have a full-stocked bookstore on campus. Some of the big, you know, Oregon, Georgia Tech, some of those guys have got a pretty large. But to be able to go and buy textbooks all year long. I mean, because I was looking for an AP style book. And looking, when we dropped the kid off, the journal, I just kind of, out of habit, looked at the journal. And there was a stack of them, so I picked one off. Couldn't find it anywhere else. Amazon doesn't seem to have it, or some of the other. I think bookstores on campuses are the coolest thing because you get all those weird books that you can't find anywhere else, or you have to order and you can't just grab it and go with it.
Well, and I would say it's possibly because we have students in residence halls that we were talking about earlier, that we have more things in this bookstore than I've seen in other bookstores as far as snacks and drinks, but also the supplies they need, the, you know, pens and pencils and all that, but T-shirts and all, you know, things that they need.
I was going to ask you about the merchandise. Most schools have a ton of merchandise. Either the alumni are buying it or it's available online or the local stores, retailers have it. Is that any kind of an emphasis at all for CR to get that out, to fly the colors in the community? I never really seen an awful lot of that.
And I've noticed that since I just moved here 3 months ago, and I've noticed that I have not seen CR merchandise in the retail stores, but we have a lot of different CR merchandise items that are sold in our bookstore. We also have other items that come through the sports teams, the athletic department. They have a lot of T-shirts and other hats and things like that. So it's not something that we have actively pursued, but it's on a list of maybe we better look into this and could it generate any revenue for us?
That's what I would think. Even if it didn't, first level, face value. If you saw the colors walking around a whole bunch more, all of a sudden maybe the kid decides to go to CR instead of SWAC. Or go to CR instead of Shasta, or CR instead of Butte, et cetera, et cetera. Notice I'm avoiding that blue colored thing.
Okay.
Just because we never think about going south for school.
Apparently,
right?
Yes, apparently. Well, I think we always try to initiate or to introduce the college to students as young as we can get them. you know, try to get students who are still in elementary school comfortable with the idea of going to college and comfortable with the fact that, yeah, I've been on that campus. I went to a ball game out there. I went to a play. And it's not as scary for them to start thinking about college if we can get them out there. I think the same would probably be true for school T-shirts and school colors and all of that.
Do you think it's scary that holds them off or not cool to go to the local school?
I think it depends upon the population you're talking about. I think we do have students that are in our local school system whose parents haven't been to college, and so there's not a college-going culture in that particular household. And so I think there is some intimidation there of college. That's not something that my family has done, so it is a little bit intimidating. They are afraid to do that. And if we can get them on campus while they're still in high school, then I think that reduces their fear somewhat, or junior high or elementary school. As far as it's not cool to go to junior college or here.
Go to the local school.
To go to the local school, okay. I think students in general, teenagers want to get away from home and out of the house. I think we do have. I was surprised when I met with the students over the weekend who were moving into the residence halls, because there were a number of them that were Eureka students, and they're living in the residence halls. I don't blame them. They wanted to get away from home, and they're safe and close enough to mom and dad that they can call if they need help.
But laundry. And it's not help, it's laundry.
We do have washers and dryers at the college. So.
Doesn't matter. They don't do it like mom does.
And they take quarters, too.
Yeah, that money thing. It just KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Kathy Lehner.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Last couple minutes or so with Kathy Lehner. Kathy, new year, new stuff, new attitude at CR?
On the part of the faculty and staff or the part of
the
student?
Culture. We got a new captain now in charge.
There is a lot of things that have been changing, and we've been working on them over the summer, preparing for the start of the new school year with all the faculty and students coming back. And I will say, you haven't asked me yet about accreditation, but because we are responding to our accreditation recommendations that were made, that has changed things. That has changed things on campus, because we all are on the same page as far as knowing what we need to do to move forward and make sure that we convince the accrediting commission that we need to remain fully accredited. So it does a new climate.
Is this going to have to be persuasive, or is this going to be just recognition of what CR has done?
A little bit of both. Now, I won't say persuasive, but it's recognition of what we have done, and then the proof that we will keep it going, that we're sustainable, that the practices that we have put into place, the plans that we have made will be carried out, and it's not a strategic plan that's put on the shelf and looked at again 5 years down the road when the expiration date is. So.
The application, that's really the major concern for the team?
I would say that the sustainability and it is, the application of the plans and keeping them going so that we can meet the targets that we have set for ourselves. So, yes.
Feeling as confident today at the end of summer as you were in June at the beginning of summer?
I am. I'm confident that we will get through this current challenge. I will say that it is very unlikely, almost impossible, to be taken off sanction by the accrediting commission at this point, because we are on the third of the three sanctions. We're at the lowest level. And so, therefore, it's very unlikely that we would jump from level three to no sanction whatsoever. So confident that, yes, they're not going to take our accreditation away. That's what I'm confident about. But if they would just allow us more time to continue proving to them that the plans we've put into place are being carried out. A lot of the things that they have asked us to do is a cyclical thing. We can't get them done in a short period of time because we have to go through the cycles of having a school year come and go and how we continually assess what we're doing and reevaluate and make improvements and then assess it again. We can't do it in a short period of time, so I just want more time to show them that a year from now we have gone through the cycle a couple times and that we really are making our practices sustainable.
Looking for signs of success rather than the accomplishment of success.
Well, we're absolutely, it's a whole culture of evidence, the way the Accrediting Commission has put into their standards, that we must use data to make decisions, and we must use data to demonstrate that we have succeeded in making improvements.
So what are they going to get the biggest wow out of?
Wow. I don't know. Biggest wow probably has to do with the amount of planning and that we have done. I mean, absolutely, the faculty and the assessment of student learning in the classrooms has changed, and there's a lot of work going on there. But we have, in a short period of time, in the last 12, maybe 18 months, put together a new strategic plan, a new education master plan, a new facilities plan, a new technology plan, a new distance ed plan, a new enrollment management plan, a new student equity plan. We have a lot of plans, and they are all aligned so that they fit together. And for the first time that people at the college now are aware of, we took those plans, and because most of them are five-year plans or three-year plans, and they have many things in there that we say we're going to do, we took those plans and we pulled out of them during convocation last week the items that we felt we actually could get done this year, and we're making an annual institutional plan for this year by saying, okay, we don't have a lot of resources, we don't have a lot of money, what can we do this year? So that's going to be in our annual plan.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
You kind of sound like you're a little jacked up here.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me, Brian. I appreciate it.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lehner. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.